As the sun sinks lower in the sky, you continue to walk the magical wooded path. The path becomes narrow now and winds up along the side of a mountain. The shadows grow long in the twilight, but you remember your lessons. To find your center with your breath, stay focused and aware, and choose happiness over fear. Monty said there was a dragon living within a cave up ahead, and while you aren't quite sure you're ready to meet a dragon, you have a feeling deep inside that things are going to be just fine. After what seems like a rather long time, you come to the entrance of a dark cave. You shudder a little as a gust of cold air comes howling out. A couple of bats dart and flitter past you, squealing off into the twilight sky. Peering inside, you can't see much of anything. This must be the dragon's home, you realize. Could the dragon be sleeping inside? What else could be in this cave? More bats? Bones? Bears? As you peer through the entrance, you think you detect a movement, a rustling sound like something skittering around in the darkness. Straining your eyes, you try to make out any shapes or other movements inside. That's when you hear a voice, but not from the cave. The voice is coming from right behind you, and it whispers in your ear, "Hey, what you looking at?" Spinning around in surprise, you find yourself staring right into the violet eyes of a purple dragon. "Whoa," you say, stepping back. Yes, it's a dragon, that much is certain, but not the kind of dragon you were expecting. No snarling mouth filled with sharp fangs, no big leathery wings or fiery breath or huge horned head. In fact, this dragon is just about the same size as you, and he's smiling as if he just met a good friend he's wanted to see for a long time. He is certainly an unusual looking thing, with funny fringes on either side of his head and little claws on his hands and feet. His small wings seem unlikely to be able to lift his round body off the ground, and his tail is slowly wagging as he watches you with a silly grin. Remembering the dragon's question, you finally manage to say, "Well, I guess I was looking for you. Isn't this cave your home?" "Sure is," the dragon says happily. "This is the home of Dalrymple the Kind. That's me." "Dalrymple the Kind," you say, beginning to realize you have nothing to fear from this friendly dragon. "That's a funny name for a dragon, isn't it?" "Well, yes it is, I guess. My original dragon name was Dalrinius the Dangerous," Dalrymple explains. "But I pretty much just go by Dally now." "So what happened, Dally?" you ask. The purple dragon lets out a long sigh and says, "Well, it's kind of a long story, but why don't you come on inside and I'll try to explain." You follow Dally into the cave, staying close to his swaying tail as he steps further into the dark. Although you and Dally are deep inside the cave, you begin to notice that ever so gradually, it's becoming lighter. Entering a large chamber, you find yourself bathed in the soft glow of candles, lanterns, and some unusual crystals that glow and shimmer with a magical light. "Wow, this place is amazing," you say. "Well, thank you. It's pretty cozy, isn't it?" says Dally. "It's really nice to have a visitor," Dally tells you, taking a seat on a great big cushion. "Most people tend to avoid dragons, you know." Dally's violet eyes suddenly light up. "Hey, this cave is a little chilly this evening. I need something to warm me up. Would you like to join me for some hot cocoa?" "That sounds pretty good," so you accept Dally's offer. He gathers a couple of large mugs and a kettle full of water. Taking a deep breath, he then exhales a stream of fire right under the kettle, immediately causing the water inside to boil and steam. Stirring the hot water into the mugs of cocoa, he gently hands you a cup and keeps the other for himself. Taking a sip, Dally lets out a long sound, his breath hanging in the air for a moment. That's good. You take a sip and agree. In fact, this dragon-made brew is about the best hot cocoa you've ever had. So you were going to tell me why you're not Dalrinius the Dangerous anymore, and why you're called Dalrymple the Kind, you remind Dally. Well, have a seat and I'll try to explain. You find a boulder with a smaller cushion on it, giving it a poke just to make sure it isn't a sleeping panda bear. You settle down on the rock, and Dally tells his story. Dragons, as everybody knows, are supposed to be ferocious things. They're big, intimidating, beastly, always flying around frightening people. All that fire breathing and roaring. Goodness, they make such a racket sometimes. I had a lot of trouble being a good dragon, or at least the kind of dragon I thought I was supposed to be. I didn't really like scaring people and stomping around like a vicious monster. And if you haven't noticed, I really don't look the part. Some of the other dragons love to point that out. They said, "Little Dorinius isn't much of a dragon, is he? Look at his flimsy little wings and his kind violet eyes. His teeth aren't very sharp and his claws are short and dull. Dorinius the Dangerous?" They mocked me. "He'll never be dangerous. He's just too kind and compassionate." Their words hurt my feelings, but of course I knew they were right. I was different and felt ashamed of myself. Some dragon I was, I couldn't even scare a bunny rabbit. And the only thing I used my fire for was to make hot cocoa. "Those other dragons seem pretty mean to me," you point out. Dally nods. "Yeah, some of them could be mean, but in a way they also helped me. They wouldn't let me forget that I was different and not like them. Even though they upset me, I started to realize that getting mad at them didn't help much. Feeling sad all the time just made me sadder. So one day I decided to get away and take a walk through this forest, along the same magical wooded path you've taken today. That's when I met all the same friends that you met today. They taught me how to become mindful of my feelings, how to sharpen my focus and awareness, how to find my center and be happy. It was then that I realized something really important. I'd spent so much time trying to be like the other dragons that I didn't even notice it was okay to be different. I hadn't seen that me being different wasn't such a bad thing at all. In fact, the more I showed myself some kindness and compassion, the happier I became. So, now you're Dalrymple the Kind, you ask? Dally nods his head and wiggles his tail. "Yep, that's me. I started by being kind to myself, and now I'm kind to everyone I meet. Kindness is always needed in this world." "That's very true," you tell Dally. "I think it makes sense for everyone to try to be kind whenever they can. If kindness makes a person a little different, that makes it all the more important to be kind." "You got it. That's exactly right." You realize that Dally has shown you a special form of kindness, not just by sharing his cocoa with you, but by sharing his story and what he learned about himself. That kind of sharing, when someone tells you about themselves in a way that helps you learn, is indeed a kind of treasure. You finish up your mug of tasty, hot, dragon-made cocoa and suddenly realize that it must be getting pretty late by now. You hop up from your seat and say, "Dally, thank you for telling me your story and for the cocoa. I have a long journey back home, and I'm afraid it'll be long past dark before I get there." Dally smiles and says, "Don't you remember? You're in a magical forest. Watch this." Dally steps over to one of the big glowing crystals shining from the wall of the chamber and touches it with his tail. Immediately, a bright lavender ray of light radiates out, casting a circular beam on the floor of the cave. "Step inside the light," Deli says. "It's perfectly safe." You walk toward the beam, but just before stepping into its light, you turn to give Deli a goodbye hug. "Goodbye, my friend. Come back anytime you wish," he says. You take one last look around before stepping into the lavender light. As you do, you feel a gust of warm air surround you. At first, you see nothing but the purplish light. But as Deli and his cave disappear before you, you begin to see new features, as though a fog is lifting. You're back in the meadow you started from earlier that morning. Walking through the meadow, you reflect back on this remarkable and magical day. You'll always remember your friends from the magical wooded path and the lessons and stories they shared with you. As you finally make it all the way back home, you feel a sense of gratitude and satisfaction for what was a truly meaningful and memorable day.